on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. Victoria Jacobson drops by to catch up on the Tin Caps, local cross country, and shakeups in the early basketball offseason. I'll close with notes on the Comets and Pacers and how their playoff runs are going, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette is here to help us get started as well. You've been at Parkview Field over the last week on the Tin Caps beat. After a hot start, they sort of fallen back to earth the last time we spoke. How are they holding up?
So, interestingly, the Tin Caps had kind of been, is puttering the right word? Kind of puttering along. They were at 500, even though they really hadn't had a lot of power hitting to speak of. Finally got their first home run of the year last Wednesday. That's exciting. And that ended up being a walk-off win. And then on Thursday, which is when I was filling in, four home runs. Several of the Tin Caps have kind of been showing that power ever since. So it was really exciting to see Rossman Verdugo hit that first home run on Wednesday. Hit one in the first inning on Thursday. He hit a second one on Thursday, and then he just kind of kept it going. And then Leo DeVries actually hit for the cycle, and that turned out to be another wild Tin Caps win on the road. So it seems like offensively they've kind of hit their stride over the past couple of days. And so hopefully they'll be able to bring that back home to Fort Wayne when they are back for another homestand next week.
Track and field season is in full swing now. There were a couple of relay events that you covered over the weekend. Let's start with Friday's Legends Relays meet, where one school clearly stood out above the others.
Yes, so the Northside Relays are kind of a classic track and field event here in Fort Wayne at Northside High. The Legends Relays have been kind of a recent addition, have similar format, but for the girls on Friday night, you know, the day before the Northside Relays. And this Friday, it was pretty much a celebration of Carroll in a lot of ways. So Carroll won 12 different events. The way that this relay meet does its scoring is a little bit different, so that they split up every race and every competition into two sections. So theoretically, you could have two competitors from the same school both win the high jump or both win the 300 hurdles. And Carroll did a little bit of that. So the Chargers won 12 different events, four relays, and they had first place sweeps in three different disciplines. So that's an exciting indication of things to come. And I was talking to the coaches afterwards, and they said if everything breaks their way, this is a team that could be in contention for the team state title at the state finals at the end of the season. So there's a lot of really exciting things if you're a Carroll Chargers fan.
The following day was the 72nd annual Northside Relays. What did we see there?
We had a hometown favorite who did really well in the Legends Relays on Friday night. And then on Saturday, it was a little bit of a out-of-towner special. So North Central and Warren Central took first and second place, respectively. Those are both very large Indianapolis schools. And so third place, though, was Columbia City. That's an NE8 school, not quite as big. And, you know, I talked to several of their coaches, and they said that, you know, they were really excited to see how well Columbia City was competing compared to some of these really, really big schools, looking pretty competitive. They did really well in the distance events. They got two wins in the 1600, two wins in the 3200. Several of their distance runners had competed in a showcase meet down in Indianapolis on Friday night, had tired legs, got back up, and went out there and competed for their team on Saturday and got the job done. So that's another exciting thing for the Columbia City coaches to see as they're trying to figure out what this team is going to look like as we head into championship season.
While there aren't any more local basketball games for a while, the news continues. It looks like DeKalb is about to embark on a coaching search.
It is coaching carousel season for high school basketball right now. DeKalb is kind of notable because they're looking for both a new boys coach and a new girls coach at the same time. So I don't envy their athletic director right now. I'm sure they're pretty busy over there. But Marty Beasley had led the DeKalb boys for four seasons. They'd gone 33-59 during his time there. And then they were 8-16 this most recent season. On the girls' side, Noah Stuckey had been leading the Barons for five seasons. seasons, and they went 3-20 in his first season with them, improved to 14 wins in each of their last two seasons, and went 52-64 overall. So, you know, the NEA is so competitive, especially on the girls' side recently. So it's one of those situations where, you know, you need to be ready to step in and know that it is going to be a tough day every day.
Victoria Jacobson covering the whole range of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with the Comets and their playoff series against the Iowa Heartlanders. It's effectively a three-game series now. After losing a tough opener at the Coliseum Friday night, the Comets came back and pulled out a W on Saturday to even up the series. Both teams made their way to Coralville for Game 3 Monday, which the Comets won to take a lead in the series. They came close to going up 3-1 on Tuesday night, but Iowa outlasted them in two overtimes to knot things up yet again at 2-apiece. It was Iowa's first ever home playoff win. Game 5 is tonight in Iowa. The series returns to Fort Wayne this weekend. Game 6 will be necessary. That's scheduled for Sunday at 5. If a decisive Game 7 is needed, it will be at the Coliseum on Tuesday at 7:30. The Indiana Pacers are off to a terrific start in their playoff run. They made the most of their home court advantage against the Bucks in the first two games of the quarterfinal, trouncing them 117-98 in Game 1 and pulling out an 8-point win in Game 2. I would have loved to have watched Game 2, but much like many of you apparently were, I was also blacked out of the game on Tuesday night. I would have loved to have watched Game 2, but apparently like many of you, I was subject to a local blackout. It's too bad. Home court is important, and it goes both ways. With Damian Lillard back in the picture and the series heading to Milwaukee, it doesn't exactly get any easier. Game 3 from the Fiserv Forum is Friday night at 8. Game 4 is Sunday with a very late 9:30 tip-off. If the Pacers can't get the job done in Milwaukee, they'll return to Gainbridge Fieldhouse on Tuesday for Game 5. Tip-off for that is currently to be announced. The Tin Caps are 9-8. They fell to Lansing Wednesday night by an 8-3 final score. They'll finish the week in Lansing against the Lugnuts. First pitch set for 6 o'clock the next two games, Saturday and Sunday, have a 1 o'clock start. The Tin Caps return to Parkview Field on Tuesday for a homestand against the Dayton Dragons. First pitch for that one on Tuesday is at 6:35. That's all for Field Notes this week. Big special thanks to Brianna Barrow for stepping forward and helping with the production of this episode. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.